Alexa, play the Hanging Pixels podcast.
Here's Hanging Pixels podcast from TuneIn.
Hello and welcome to Hanging Pixels, a podcast for professional photographers where we discuss trends in the photo industry, focusing on the rapidly evolving world of digital photography. My name is T.W. Woodward, and I'm your host. Hanging Pixels has a sponsor. Listen to the end of the podcast for a special coupon code to receive 30% off your registration fee for PhotoLinks' MVP conference in June. Today on the Hanging Pixels podcast, we have Scott DeFusco and Jeff Eckerly, co-founders of Capture Life. Capture Life is a technology platform designed to deliver digital content to customers on a mobile platform. I met Scott and Jeff early in the formation of Capture Life, and at that time, they blew me away with the overall scope of the project. For today's episode, I wanted to reconnect with Jeff and Scott and unravel the story of how a couple corporate software developers branched out on their own, ended up in the photo industry, and are quickly maneuvering the platform into other areas of our social and mobile lifestyle. Jeff, Scott, welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks, TW.
Thanks.
Jeff, you and I met a few years back because your son and daughter both play sports in one of the big suburban youth athletic leagues near Minneapolis. At the time, I was the lab manager at a company that took your family's team photos. How long ago was that?
Well, let's see, two kids, three sports, 3 years, I think. So what, 18 paper order forms for youth sports photos? Something.
So that was about 3 years ago. So we're looking at 2016. Does that sound right?
That's right. That's right.
Let's put that back in 2016. I'm just trying to set a general timeline of our relationship. What was the official timeline for the launch of Capture Life? What was year zero for this project?
We really launched this to the market about 18 months ago from a marketing standpoint. But Scott and I started really working through this and doing some prototyping. Really, it was about early 2015, mid-2015.
We met pretty early on as far as this overall project of Capture Life.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, as we started developing our thoughts and plans and assumptions about the market or the problem we were trying to solve, where you were working, TW, was a natural place for me to explore more. You know, it was great to meet you at that point, and you provide some valuable insights as we were forming some initial ideas.
And what was the seed of inspiration for Capture Life? I mean, what was the thought process that launched this adventure?
Well, I was really looking in my refrigerator one day with at that time, probably a 12-year-old and a 9-year-old, and seeing all these magnets on the fridge of my children from their youth sports activities. It was the photos photo packages I'd bought, and it just struck me that at this point in time, 2015, pretty much every adult that I knew had a smartphone. It was clear that smartphones were changing our lives. Digital content, digital images were causing major disruptions in other areas. And it struck me really odd that I had purchased all this professional photography, but did not have the digital images for any of them. And I was trying to figure that out. Like, why am I still buying prints? Why are they not pushing more digital on me? Because I sure would like to have all these amazing memories on my phone. I mean, at that point, I had, like, I think it was 42 magnets on my fridge. And then my wife and I went around and we collected all the other purchases of photography that we had made and just said, wow, you know, we've made, I think it was 95 purchases of photography across school and youth sports and family portraits and Santa portraits and all those other things that parents get hit. And yet it was clear that this industry was not pushing digital content on us. And that just seemed like a real disconnect for potentially an industry from where today's consumer in 2015 was and where they were going. So Scott and I, having built platforms in the past, and we're at a point in our careers where we were looking for perhaps an industry that missed the consumer shift. And, you know, this kind of seemed like an opportunity to dig into a little bit more.
Photographers everywhere, thank you for all of those purchases. What's interesting is, and I know this obviously because I was the lab manager at the company that you were purchasing all of these photos from, we did make the digital images available to you, but we really didn't put that at the forefront of our offering. And we certainly weren't selling that. We were giving it away as a shareable image, a low resolution image shareable on Facebook. So we weren't making money with it, but we were trying to figure out how we could get it in the hands of consumers. And if photographers weren't as aggressive as the company that I was working for, then they were very fearful of digital. But I think Capture Life is coming along at a time where digital is becoming more and more important and can no longer be some sort of an afterthought or given away for free or certainly not some of the methods that we've used in the past.
I'll just share my view on this and it's important to understand background. I mean, I'm not a photographer. I'm not even passionate about the art of photography. I'm much more focused from a business sense around business models. And one of the reasons that it was so interesting to dive into what we've done here with Capture Life is that we saw a business model that was focused on print-driven revenue. And I think that as the consumer shifted, the industry missed how there needs to be an adjustment.
Right.
So to your point about we first, you know, we offered digital, but it was an afterthought. Well, we saw that over and over and over. And the pricing structure of digital versus print didn't really add up. And it was misaligned with where we saw the consumer going. And that was really the foundation of why we dove into the photo industry, because we saw that opportunity. You know, there's disruption, change happening to markets all around us. And software is driving that. It's been happening for the last 10, 15, 20, 30 years. And we looked at this just as another opportunity to try to provide a solution that could help an industry move forward.
Right. So let's go back to before 2016, 15, when the seeds of Capture Life have been planted. Scott, you were working for a large software company before Capture Life, correct?
Yes, I was. A company called Deltek. It's what's called an ERP software company, Enterprise Resource Planning. So really what Deltek specializes in is all the software that a company may need to run their business, sort of the back office operations.
What was your role there? I mean, what was your specific title or what were your responsibilities?
Yeah, the role was called product strategy and management, but for more traditional software people, product management and product marketing. So in that role, it's really setting out the strategy for a product line in the market, aligning with what the customers want and need out of a solution, and making sure that the products and the features that we're bringing to market are aligned to solve that problem for the customers and therefore make money for the company.
Interesting, interesting. So, and I say it's interesting because I know you guys from this Capture Life adventure, and I'm starting to get a picture of how this past experience fits in. Jeff, how and when, or let's throw this back to Scott. How did you meet Jeff? Because at some point he came to work at Deltek, right? At that same company?
Yeah. So I met Jeff because he worked for an engineering company in the Twin Cities. He was I believe the head of project management there. And Jeff was one of our more active customers. So he spoke at events and he was very active in, letting us know where we should be taking the product, what features he thinks would improve their business. And I just saw that innate curiosity in Jeff and the professionalism and knew that he would be a really great fit to work at Deltek. So we recruited him to join the team.
What is a typical project like at a big company like Deltek? What were you guys working on before you left?
The projects varied, TW, in size and scope, because sometimes we were working on a major release of a whole new module of our software, like a resource planning module.
Mm-hmm.
That was a very big release, involved a lot of people, a lot of planning to bring that to market. Other projects, Jeff got involved in cross-functional projects at the company, like innovating the way that we managed our software releases, for example. And it was actually through those type of cross-functional projects at Dell Tech that Jeff and I started seeing some real stress fractures within the teams within our company, but not only that, but how everybody worked with people outside of the company as well. So we were involved in some projects working with teams within Dell Tech, and there were some outside consultants involved. And Jeff and I were looking at that saying, wow, the communication is really dysfunctional.
Mm-hmm.
And mostly because the way people were communicating, through emails and spreadsheets and always repeating what had happened in the last meeting, it was really painful. And so it was through that experience that Jeff and I came up with an idea of, wait a minute, this is really related to Capture Life, too. It's the same sort of, problem that we saw where people are communicating in real time and in a very open way on social media.
Yes.
Why aren't they doing that in a business?
Yes.
So that led to the development of a platform called Kona, and it's still there, Kona.com. You can go to it and see it's still a vibrant platform. But the Kona was developed to solve that problem, to basically use social media, real-time communication around teams to collaborate on projects.
CW, let me just add one thing into that. I think one important thing to understand with Kona related to Capture Life is that this concept evolved in 2010, like Scott said, just as media was becoming mainstream, right? Everybody was starting to talk socially in their personal lives on Facebook, and that was becoming the norm. Well, tying this back to Capture Life, we at that point in 2010 saw where the consumer was going, started building the Kona platform. 2015, we, see the consumers now completely mobile. So we started building the platform for Capture Life. And I think that's the commonality here that Scott and I bring, hopefully, to all the people that are benefiting from Capture Life, is that we try to make these connections between shifts in the consumer and where industries, markets, software products need to go. That's what we did with Kona. We're doing it with Capture Life. And I think that's what we're most passionate about when it comes to looking at all the opportunities to improve problems that exist in the world.
The reason I started laughing and when Scott was talking, and Jeff, I completely agree with your point. And this goes back to something that you said earlier and that I responded to, which is you and I had a communication problem. I was the director of a photo lab. You were saying, where are my digital photos? We were giving them away to you free, but yet you didn't know that they were available. Okay, so that's a communication issue. And that's obviously you guys are going through this software development and you're trying to solve communication issues. I think that's fascinating. I think if those are the seeds of Capture Life, you guys are starting out on the right track. And if you think about the photo industry and the way digital is treated, I mean, even today, you've got images going out via email, right? You've got images going out via CD. You've got images going out via Dropbox or USB drives. We're talking about basically communication-less methods to send out a digital photo. Email, out of all of those that I just mentioned, is probably the one that has the most communication involved with it. But I tell you, in my day-to-day life or moment-to-moment life, I am hyper-connected through my cell phone, through text messaging programs, through group collaboration programs like Slack and what you guys were working on at Dell Tech. It was a similar project. Photographers that are stuck on any of those, I'm again just making a side note here, we're stuck back pre-2015. I mean, CDs are pre-2004 when Apple decided not to even include CD-ROM drives. We're stuck with a lack of communication out to our customers. Sorry, got off on a tangent there. But basically, you guys have a long history in the software industry, basically solving communication problems. What was it about the photo industry that was so unique? I mean, when you guys decided to step outside of the corporate umbrella and build your own company, why target the photo industry?
Well, I think we were looking for an area that we could solve a problem we experienced in our own lives. The fact that we had purchased so much photography, it gave us insights from the consumer's perspective, and we felt like there was the market was missing the shift to the consumer. Yep. So it was a problem we inherently understood, and we also saw nobody really trying to solve it from a platform perspective. When you come from the background of building software that we did, you know it's important to build things from a platform perspective, not just a single point software solution that's, you know, going to solve one particular problem, but do that in a way that isn't connected to all the other interactions that data, information, content needs to have relative to the specific problem you're solving. And I think that was what was attractive to us, is that there was a need for a platform, a need for a new standard, all those things pointing to, you know, we can build something here that can be built upon, as opposed to we're just going to go build a singular software solution.
Yeah, and I think I'll add on to that, DW. There's a technique that you use in product management where if you just watch and listen, you are going to discover where those problems are that can be solved. I'll never forget, there was one in particular that sticks out of my mind. I was watching someone use our software, just kind of a natural environment. We were there for the day doing consulting, and I saw the person using it, and they were on a screen, and they wrote something down on a sticky note, put it up on their computer, and then went to the next screen, and then took that sticky note and entered that value into the next screen. That told me right away that there's a problem there. Why did we force someone to do that? And so if you use that you can do that in your daily life. Like if you just spend a day being aware of everything you do and where there are things where you say, why am I doing that? That seems like a problem or harder than it should be. And so we started looking at it through that lens when, to use a pun there, when Jeff had that, you know, moment, that insight from looking at the magnets on his fridge, we both as parents started to become aware and went through that exercise and noticed that everywhere we went, you know, that was someplace with the family, on weekends or vacations or going to a sporting event, a concert, there were professional images being captured, but they weren't getting to us, the people that value them the most. Mm-hmm. So this gets into the broader strategy about, you know, where the company's going. But it was at the core of our vision from the beginning, because we saw not just in the youth sports or the school pictures, but we saw all these other, you know, types of experiences we were having where we weren't getting those memories and memorializing them, and that causes you know stress, and so that also became very obvious to us that there was a bigger problem to solve.
And I think that what's most important about that is how this builds and the layers of realization happen the deeper you dive into something. So like Scott said, we felt it was frustrating that we didn't get those memories, right? We wanted the photos from the concert or from the baseball game or wherever we went and spent our money with our family around these experiences. And that was the same issue. We wanted the digital images from school photographers and sports photographers. So there's this commonality, but then if you start thinking about it deeper, it's like, wow, you know, when I go spend my money, that photography business should care about knowing who I am and wanting to connect with me. And if I go to a concert, that act on the stage should want to know that I'm there and care to find a way to better connect with me. And so there was this link that, wait a minute, if the photographers would just get the digital content to the consumers in a social mobile way, then the consumer would be happy because they'd have great content that they want to go share on social media. The consumers value that. But the other benefit is that whoever's selling the experience or selling the photography can stay connected to the consumer through that digital content. And that's when the light bulb really went off and said, huh, there's an opportunity here for a platform that could serve multiple purposes if, you know, from both sides of the equation, the consumer and the business, if we figured out how to deliver the right experience.
I'm going to tell a story here. So I meet Jeff through this commonality that we have between his kids playing youth sports and the company that I was working for. And I mean, within a week or so of meeting Jeff, Scott flies into Minneapolis. Most of us in the industry know that Minneapolis is a mecca of sorts for the photo industry, with Life Touch and Jostens both headquartered around here. Scott flies in. We all meet at Khan's Mongolian Barbecue. And I find out that somehow they've landed Life Touch as their first customer in the photo industry. How did you guys land the world's largest portrait photo company as your first customer?
You heard a little bit about our background from corporate software perspective. It was just a natural thing to do, to go reach out to a large corporation and try to learn as much as fast as possible. So I did what I think most good business developers would do. You look on your LinkedIn, who are you connected to, the connected people at Life Touch, and it turns out someone on the adult hockey team I was playing on, his wife was connected to a person in the technology and innovation area of Life Touch, was able to get an introduction through that. We started a phone conversation, had a couple calls, ultimately got brought in to meet with some other people on the innovation team at Life Touch. And, within I think about 3 months, we engaged with them to under a consulting contract to help them understand the opportunity that we saw for photography businesses to shift and change more to a digital way. And so we got to develop our platform and, of course, retain all the IP around that, but develop our platform with some guidance from them and then the ability to initially do pilot tests with many of their customers.
So you developed this relationship, again, with the world's largest portrait photo company really early on in the formation of Capture Life. What did this experience with Life Touch do for you? What the platform, I'm assuming, is young and malleable at this point. Scott, what did this do for the overall direction of Capture Life?
Yeah, it really was a tremendous opportunity to evolve the platform based on a number of dimensions. Number one, you know, for those familiar with Life Touch, many in the industry obviously are, they don't do just one type of photography. So we were exposed to, you know, the volume school group, which they're so well known for, but also the preschool group, the sports group. They had acquired Glossy Finish, who
right.
Today is one of our strongest partners in the industry. So we were exposed to a lot of different facets of the volume photography industry through that relationship and worked with a lot of really talented people. You know, it's easy to view Life Touch if you're a competitor to them as, you know, as any competitor. You look at them as someone that you're competing against. You have a certain viewpoint. But when you work with the people inside, many of these people had worked for photography businesses that were smaller that had been acquired by Life Touch. You just get exposed to a lot of great people, and it helped us to evolve the platform very quickly. And when you have to work with someone that big that does things at such scale, it really helped us to mature the platform from a scale perspective. And what it did is, through that relationship, as the platform evolved, we started to draw other customers in, and we started to work with not just photography businesses, but then our lab strategy. And our first lab was GPA, a great lab focusing on youth sports photographers and their
right.
network. And that really, through the relationship, we started to grow in the volume space at a very good rate, and it really served as the foundation for the business today.
you guys worked with LifeTouch right up to the Shutterfly announcement. And you guys were, so you guys were obviously very close to their teams. You're working as a technology provider to LifeTouch. Were you guys completely floored by that announcement? I mean, was the end game ever to sell Capture Life to LifeTouch and be done with it? Or what was your thinking, I guess, around that time of that acquisition?
I think if you rewind to 2015 and we're talking with LifeTouch about how we could solve all their technology challenges around digital content delivery and had this vision, maybe at that point this was something we were going to do and try to get tighter with LifeTouch. But I think as we got deeper into it, we saw how myopically focused they are on volume school photography, which they should be. That's their business. And remember, we entered this with a wider vision of not just school and sports photography, but all the different, you know, experiences where a consumer wants content around their most important memories, the memories they're spending money on. And so it became pretty clear that it was going to be hard to move that vision that we had for this forward, deeper, faster inside of LifeTouch. By the time the acquisition with Shutterfly happened, we were already making plans for how we were going to best carry out, you know, the wider vision that we had.
Right. So I have to say that from the first time that we met and we started talking about this, the project and the sheer scope of this project, I mean, up to this point, we've been talking a lot about the volume photo industry, and I'm certainly been impressed with everything that you've done there. We lost touch for a little while there between when we all met and then when you guys went and you were working with LifeTouch. We didn't have a whole lot of contact. When we came back together a year and a half or so later, and I realized that you guys had connected the dots through the photo industry, essentially picking up these giant photo labs throughout North America, United States, and Canada. And you've also found a way to embed Capture Life and volume ordering systems like PhotoLinks, Rose, and Kodak DP2. Before we jump into this broader vision that had me so enthralled, I was absolutely amazed by this the overarching vision for Capture Life. But what is your goal in the volume photo industry? What do you guys want to achieve there?
Yeah, I'm glad you mentioned those integrations because it really, as Jeff mentioned earlier, being a platform, it's a base part of a whole strategy we don't want to force people, businesses, photographers to change their workflow. We want Capture Life to plug into the existing ecosystem and then amplify the experience for the photographer, but more importantly for the consumer, and, you know, have that ongoing connection with the consumer unlock a lot more value. You know, when you think about it, photographers tend to look at digital and not quite know what to think about it. They're a little worried about it. How are we going to monetize it? But if you think about it, a delivered print, which again, still has value, we're not saying it doesn't, but once you deliver that print, there is no way that you can change that into something else or that product can serve to send people directly back to you. If you think about digital, when you have digital content that you deliver to someone's phone, you are now with them all the time, and you can change that content. We can offer different backgrounds that can be purchased from a green screen workflow throughout the year, seasonal backgrounds. We can turn images into videos. So there's so much technology that's available that we're just getting started in this volume space. There are so many other things that we're looking to unlock, and this industry is going to transform to where 2 years from now, you're going to see how much more value you can unlock as a business and as an industry with the Capture Life platform.
You mentioned glossy finish earlier in the podcast, and Chaim Ariev was one of the first people that I interviewed for Hanging Pixels because of the work that he's done in the experience space. Since that interview, Capture Life has teamed up with Chaim and his team to create GF Crew and a specific product, as you're saying, Scott, and you're starting to talk about different things that a digital platform can do for the volume photography crowd. from what I understand, it's a specific product that you're developing to work with what Haim does, which is action photos, correct?
Yeah, it's a really good specific example of what we've been talking about when you change a business model because of a problem with the existing model, and you use technology to make that change impactful for the consumer and the photographer. And that's exactly what GF Crew and Capture Life Events, working with the team at Glossy Finish, is doing. So in a nutshell, the problem in the action youth sports photography space is that a photographer goes out and for free takes pictures of a game, a tournament, whatever they might be capturing, and then post it online, hoping that parents come back and want to pay for those images that were captured. When you think about it, what business do you take your valuable service, your talent, and basically give it away for free, hoping that someone's going to pay? And what Glossy Finish has learned, and they're really, I think, the most successful in this space, is that parents will pay for you to capture images of their kid in action sports. And so they've made a business around it, but wanted to take that model, get rid of what's called the spray and pray, spray out a bunch of pictures on the web and hope someone pays you, and turn it into a scalable model where you show up at a game with your camera and Capture Life Events app, and you can take parents' orders right there with the app, swipe the credit card. They are paying in advance, and there are some really cool business elements to this that Glossy Finish has honed over the years. Wearing a bib so you're an official event photographer, rubber band that goes around the cleat so you know which kid you're photographing and what hand they are, so when they're pitching or they're batting, you know what side of the field to be on. All sorts of interesting things that help in the whole process. So the combination, if you were to go to gfcrew.com, you'll see the whole vision there, is using a business model that's more successful, getting paid for what you do, and couple that with the technology that enables this experience so that from those captured photos, those get right to the parent's phone and you've already been paid. So we're really excited about that particular product offering and program.
The one other thing I'll add there that it adds a little insight into Capture Life's vision goal. We've partnered with Haim and Glossy Finish to create this GF Crew. Haim is leading that charge, and Capture Life, again, developed as a platform, is able to go in lots of different directions so that the same functionality that was built for, you know, the specific needs that GF Crew is talking about can easily be applied to someone else at a prom dance or wherever else there might need to be an on-site transaction in a very mobile, quick way. Again, this is another example of the platform approach that's so important for people to understand when you start trying to grasp the full vision of Capture Life.
So at one point, one of my business mentors said, hope is not a business strategy. And my experience talking with Haim and from some of the things you guys just said, with digital in the photo industry, many of us have tried different things, and a lot of these things have been based on that hope concept. And Haim, you know, will say it straight up. There was a long period of time where he completely missed the mark because he was basing his strategy on hope, which is, I'm going to take all these photos and hope somebody finds them and makes a purchase. I think it's critical, and this is my position on the industry and how all of this is transitioning to digital, and maybe a little bit of advice to photographers out there. Get paid for your service, right? As this stuff goes digital, make your money for what we do as photographers, which is go out there with our equipment and our skill and our expertise in lighting and capture and posing, and go out and get paid for that. Don't rely on hope because, again, as that mentor said, it's not a business strategy. What you're working on with Haim is a great transition to move forward with this discussion on what you guys are doing with the platform, because there's some other areas you guys are moving into. I noticed the unveiling of the new brand, which looks great. Is this the move towards those higher aspirations? If we go back to that dinner that we had, and Jeff, when you said, let's meet at Khan's Mongolian Barbecue, my mind first went to, wait, I thought Mongolia was some sort of frozen wasteland. Do they even have food there? I was a little curious as to what we were going to actually eat for dinner. We're back there having dinner, which, by the way, was a buffet filled with shrimp and beef and chicken. I mean, apparently they have a whole bunch of different types of food in Mongolia. We talked about higher aspirations. Where are you guys at with those aspirations? I mean, we've gone through this whole experience, you know, in the volume photo industry where you picked up LifeTouch as a first partner and that drove some of the development. Where's Capture Life at today?
Yeah, well, first of all, you're making me hungry, so stop talking about the Mongolian grill. But it's really part of our business strategy. Jeff will recall back to early days of Capture Life, where one of the slides that we had when we were talking about Capture Life to folks was the old Vikings stadium and fans all the way up in the nosebleeds, photographer down in the field, and the fans not getting that action from the field right on their phones. So while we always had this broader vision of basically wherever professional memories are being captured, they should be easily shared and bring value to everybody. As a business, you have to focus. If you try to build the platform too wide too quickly or take your business too wide too fast, it's a recipe for failure, actually. You can really get yourself into trouble. You don't want to eat the whale in one bite. You can't do that. So we've kept that focus in the volume space, both as a company and a platform, to build that out at the right pace that works for everybody. And our website and our brand reflected that focus. And so now is the time. The platform is at a stage and we have other types of businesses using it. And by the way, it's not that those use cases are dramatically different. If you look at attractions and resorts, sports and entertainment, a lot of the workflows and the things that we do with the platform for those parts of the market are very similar to what we're doing in the volume space. So the brand is really now a point in our evolution as a company where the maturity of the platform and the maturity of our business is prepared to take us into these broader markets.
If I can just add on to that, let's take the discussion up one level and not just think about photography companies. But again, this, whether you're a photography company or whether you're some experience, this notion of connecting digital content to a consumer and their smartphone and knowing when and how they're engaging with it and knowing who they are, that's needed. It's an important marketing and business opportunity for anybody, whether you're a photography business or a experience creating business. And I think that at the core of Capture Life, from the beginning, the technology has always been aimed at that. And so, like Scott said, we're maybe expanding our focus in terms of how we go to market. But the technology platform, interestingly, is able to go across all those different use cases because what we're solving isn't necessarily a photography problem. We're solving a marketing problem and a customer relationship problem. And that's why I think the broadness of our vision from the beginning was really important,
yep.
But yet may feel like we've really focused just in one like volume photography initially, because like Scott said, you have to do that
yep.
when you start.
Yep. So you had the vision, you built the platform, and the relationship with LifeTouch helped build the platform in a direction, but it's the same platform that you were able to then take in a different direction with Haim and create Capture Life events. And now that's existing to serve a specific purpose, again, to address the communication and how do we get these digital photos out to parents? How do we get them out to consumers? Regardless of if that consumer is on the other end of a school photo day, if they're on the other end of a youth action tournament, if they're at a Minnesota Vikings game, as you mentioned, or other type of pro sporting event, Or if they're one of the other areas you guys are branching into is the resorts and travel market. What does that look like? I mean, the photography industry already exists to some degree in resorts and travel, on cruise ships or amusement parks. What does Capture Life bring to the table there?
Yeah, so we officially call it the attractions and resorts market. And when you think about that, and I'll just give you a real tangible example. My wife and I took my daughter to a local theme park called King's Dominion. We go every year in October to the Spook Night, or whatever they call it, where they transform the park into a series of haunted houses. And I think there were 6 or 7 of these set up. And you're standing in line. Everybody's holding their phone while they're standing in line. And then you all feed through a photo station before you go into the actual haunted house. And it's the traditional model. Snap a picture of a QR code card, hand that to you. Snap your picture, look like you're scared, and then you walk out back with your phone in your hand. And you know what's going to happen then. You're forced to go to a kiosk. So in the midst of trying to get everything done at the park and have fun, you now have to break the routine and find a physical retail kiosk where you go up and you look at pictures that are then being sold to you as prints. And if you buy the print, now you're going on rides. What do you do with that print? You've got to put it somewhere, hope it doesn't get bent. And then it usually ends up going home and getting stuck in a drawer. So through those types of experiences, we realize that it's the same problem. You know, these people are walking around with their phone. That theme park can get much more value out of landing that content on people's phone and then driving them to do other things that that theme park wants to do and wants to monetize. So, you know, the attraction and resorts market, if you think of anywhere you travel, a good example is one of our newest customers, Chuck Adventures. They're in Jamaica, Turks and Caicos, and Belize. They have over 60 different adventure excursions, from riding horses on the beach, scuba diving, ATV rides through the forest, zip lining, you name it. They've got a great adventure for it. And a lot of the feeder to their business are from the cruise ships that come in, for example, to those destinations or the resorts there on the islands. And so their old model was, you know, take pictures, go to a physical key, retail station, and they're going to sell you a CD. And they were frustrated with that because there's no ongoing connection with the customer. And where Capture Life transforms that is, not only are we landing on their phone right there at the adventure with those great images, but our marketing side of our platform starts to ignite other opportunities for Chukka. For example, if you went on the ATV ride and you walk away with those images on your phone, Capture Life can set a geofence around the other excursions on the island. So as you're traversing the island and you trip over one of those geofences, you cross it for, let's say, the horseback riding on the beach, we can land on your phone with a push notification that says, hey, you're congratulations on you're right near another Chukka adventure, and here's 10% off your next excursion. So and we can stay connected with that consumer throughout the year, trying to drive them back to another adventure.
Scott, it's interesting that this podcast seems to keep circling back to the word communication. I mean, you just mentioned it again, where it's becoming evident in my conversation with you today that the problem that you guys are trying to solve has to do with communication in the photo industry. And if we look at the photo industry as a whole, I couldn't agree more. From my own experience as a lab director with Jeff, that was a communication process, a communication problem, all the way to these images that are being taken in what you just described, which is this amusement park where they're taking photos, and they're lacking the ability to get those photos right to where we communicate with everybody, which is from that mobile phone. That's the hub of communication in our lives. All the way to this adventure group in Jamaica that has that are handing out CDs, which again goes back to just the photo industry lacking in its ability to communicate effectively with its customer, not just give the customer a product that the customer wants, but to provide it in a way that there's ongoing communication with the customer. In my experience, a paper order form is that's a little bit of communication. It's not a whole lot, and it certainly is not magic. I mean, I interviewed Rob Malden, who's the ex-director of imaging at Disney, where everything needs to be magic. Scott, what you just described, where you walk through this line, you're on your phone, everybody's got their head buried, you get into this portrait mode, you pretend you're scared, you go back on your phone until you go into this attraction, and then you go back to a kiosk and pick up a print later on. None of that seems magic to me. And so I just wanted to take a moment and point out what I'm seeing from this interview, what I'm hearing is that you guys are solving a communication issue. Would you agree with that?
I'd take a little different tack and use the word digital transformation. And it's not just the photography or the professional photography industry. Every industry, all businesses have had to deal with the fact that the consumer has shifted and digitally transformed to a social mobile way of living. And I think all of these topics, issues you bring up that Scott's been talking about too, stem from that need for businesses to digitally transform. Industries need to digitally transform. You know, you brought up Rob Malden, and this is really what we as Captions are trying to do. Disney spent tens of millions of dollars to build that incredible experience that you get when you go to Disney. You go on a ride and your photos just show up on your smartphone. Well, yeah, now they've got some photo revenue from you, but what they have is they're connected now. They've got you in their app. They can message to you. They can come back and look at how often you look at those photos. They can see if you look at those photos 2 weeks, 3 weeks after you leave and message to you to do different things they want you to do after you've left the park. Well, if you want to understand Capture Life in the simplest terms, we are basically enabling that same capability from a platform perspective for any company to offer that type of customer relationship that Disney can with their platform. And, of course, so with Capture Life, we offer it as a platform as a service, so you don't have to go off and spend tens of millions of dollars building your own like Disney did, because obviously most people don't have those kinds of means as a business.
So you mentioned before that, you know, we talked about professional sports and the entertainment side of it. In my experience, I haven't seen much professional photography happening at a professional sports stadium or at a concert. And let me take that back. There's professional photography going on. It's just that it's never been accessible to me as a fan in the stands at either a professional stadium or at a concert. As far as, you know, as far as your broader vision for Capture Life, how does that fit into this area of sports and entertainment where their photography to the consumer really hasn't existed before?
I think that what's missing is that the photography is taking place at these venues, but it's not being used to connect with that consumer. And identifying who is in the seats is valuable to the business. And being able to connect with that consumer while they're at the venue, after they leave the venue, that is something that's very powerful for a business that creates an experience. And just historically, the great content, digital content that's being captured by professionals at a concert, at these events, isn't being used to connect to the consumer. And that's really what we were able to do. I mean, think about it just in a simple term. Let's say you're in Section 229 at a big concert in an arena. You're not getting great footage from a photographer who's right there on stage, and you see them there taking the photos. I see this all the time. Well, if we can get that content to the person in Section 229, now that artist is connected to that consumer through that content. And after they leave the concert, we can have them go and send a push notification to them and say, hey, you didn't stand in line for your T-shirt at the concert. Why don't you go out to our merchandise store right now, 2 days after the concert, and buy a T-shirt you didn't get for 10% off or whatever. And that's creating new opportunities for commerce, because we connected that consumer with a brand or with a business or with a venue around the experience or the memory that they just experienced.
And I would say too, TW, from a photographer's perspective, this is really transformative. You know, we've met now with a number of major league teams, you know, in the NBA, Major League Baseball teams, and we can't talk about the names now, but we've also met with their photographers. And one of our newest customers, the St. Louis Surge, professional women's basketball team, is rolling out Capture Life for their season that starts here at the end of May. And it's a complete fan experience. But think about the value the photographer gets. So right now, the photographer is capturing, they have several photographers that capture some action shots during the game. Well, where do those go? Those get posted on social media, a few of the shots do, and then they're there for the archives. Well, what we're bringing to the table, we have a workflow that gets on people's phones before, during, after, any time, the whole experience. And we're landing there with content already showing them the players and the arena and some behind-the-scenes shots or a welcome video from the general manager. So they're already getting immersed into the experience before they've even entered the arena. And the photographer then is capturing shots behind the scenes, the team arriving at the arena. During the game, those action photos are getting shared at intervals throughout the game to the people in real time in the stands that are watching the game. We're doing candid capture sessions where you can come up and get your picture taken with the mascot or with the team members. And so when you think of not only the value that the fans are getting out of that whole experience, now the Surge is connected to their fans. And when you look at the quote that their general manager has on our website, it's really helping to integrate their sponsors and develop their players into brand ambassadors. What it's doing for the photographer is elevating their value where they're creating all this content for this, you know, incredibly diverse experience that's managed through the platform. So I think there's a real key message in there for anybody who is capturing, regardless of whether you're in the volume space or wherever you're working, that these other areas are areas that you can get into and add value as well, you know, to what you're doing with your business.
I think out there, hopefully listening to this podcast, are some innovative school photographers who are going to hear this or follow us in what we're doing for the St. Louis Surge and other sports venues and things like that and say, wait a minute, the school is a venue. Parents are the fans. I have access. I can create over the course of, say, a school year, a whole different type of digital experience that's way more aligned with what that parent wants than just trying to sell them prints. That's what I think we're going to see shift over the coming years for people that are still in school photography or any kind of photography, because this notion of experience and staying connected to a group of people over time is really what consumers want, and it's what these businesses want as we continue to make the platform of Capture Life available to them.
And this is all the same platform, right? We've talked about different workflows and different types of photography, but I just want to make that clear. I mean, if it's coming from schools or sports or music concerts or action events or vacation adventures, this is all somehow flowing into the same account connected to a mobile number. Is that right?
It is. It's the same account. Yep. And I give you an example of that. One of our customers, and this goes back to what Jeff just said, but a practical example of an existing photography business that's with more traditional business model has already landed on customers' phones with volume sports pictures, but is transforming into a totally new experience, an expansive experience. So ClixMN, one of our customers, rolled out Capture Life, made it a part of their volume photography offering at the USA Cup, a massive, global soccer tournament, youth soccer tournament that's hosted in Minnesota. And they get players from all over the world that come for this event. And they started with Capture Life by rolling out our video stories to offer more digital products to their volume photography customers at the event. Well, this year, the owner has this type of innovative thinking and drive that Jeff just described. And we're working with them now in USA Cup to turn it into a whole fan experience. So still doing the volume work, but adding so much more content being captured and streaming to people's phones throughout the whole experience. It's a really great example of how that business can evolve and drive much more value with a digital transformation like that.
What you guys are describing is a very different photo industry based on communication and the ability to connect customers to a platform and back to an entity like a sports team or a musician or all the way back to your local photographer. I think it's absolutely brilliant, but this is that's a very different vision for the photo industry. And photographers, quite frankly, have been hammered on for the past couple of decades. I mean, when digital came around, it transformed workflows. That wasn't an easy transition. A photographer's workflow is complex, and it's hard to get an image from a camera, even onto a print and out to a consumer. But then you bring in this mobile disruption, and it makes it even more difficult. And, you know, instead of photographers throwing in the towel, or even worse, the industry kind of imploding and collapsing on itself, you guys really see Capture Life as the catalyst to flip an industry?
Absolutely, we do. That all comes from watching the way the consumers are transforming their behavior and aligning with it. You only have to look at the music industry. And for those of us who have been around for a while, you've seen an example of an industry that was entrenched and was the products were being sold in a form factor and in a way that wasn't pleasant to the consumer. And here comes Apple and listens to what the consumer wants and offers it in a way that is more aligned with where that consumer is thinking. And boom, you unleash tremendous value. And quite frankly, Apple had the market flipped on them by Spotify. Spotify, you know, just released incredible quarterly results, and they're far outpacing Apple, who was the dominant player in that market. But they did it by aligning with the subscription value.
Right.
And people want to pay a price and get all you can eat. And so, like Jeff mentioned in the school space, if for the photography businesses that work with Capture Life and offer a subscription memory program for a school that gives them more content for one price throughout the year, you're going to watch this industry transform. And so in all these different areas we've been talking about, watching the consumer, aligning with that consumer is always going to unlock value in an industry, and we're really excited about that.
Jeff, you and I met early on when the seeds were freshly planted, and you're going through this idea of you've located an industry, you found an industry that needed transformation. Seeds are planted. You start this Capture Life adventure with Scott. What's the end game for Capture Life? Or if there's not an end game, what does it look like in 5 years or 10 years?
Your end game, hopefully, is what the original vision was. Anytime you start something like this, for us, we want a person, a consumer, to show up at any memorable event or send their kid to school picture day and just expect that they're going to get digital content delivered to Capture Life about their memorable experience. Because we're trying to build and amass all these memories for the consumers. We know if we do that, we're going to have a very sticky platform from a consumer standpoint that is going to be very valuable to businesses. And so for us, it's the end game is being a brand that is connecting memories with contextual marketing opportunities for businesses, consumers, in a way that is beneficial and enjoyed by both of those sides.
I've followed Jeff and Scott since early on in the Capture Life journey, and the conversation today revealed the ambitious and broader vision that they have for the platform. Our conversation kept circling back to the idea that Jeff and Scott are out to solve a communication problem between photographers, businesses, and consumers. Their platform is designed to work across multiple industries, acting as a centralized hub where all of our important memories are stored and shared regardless of their source. Solving this communication problem seems vital to an industry that has been falling behind consumer behavior and will unlock doors to new opportunities for professional photographers around the globe. Jeff and Scott, thank you guys for taking the time to join me for the interview. I felt a strong connection all the way back to when we first met, and I've always been impressed by your tact and business skill, and I've been blown away by the ambition and the scope of the project. You have formed a formidable team and a formidable platform, and from this perspective, I think that's great news for everyone in the professional photo industry. I really appreciate having you guys on the show.
Thanks, W.
Yeah, thanks, CW. It's great.
Hey, come hang out with me at PhotoLinks' MVP conference in San Diego, June 24th to June 27th, 2019, and learn how to master volume photography. Enter code PIXEL, that's P-I-X-E-L in all caps, to take 30% off your registration fee. I'll see you in San Diego. And thank you for listening to Hanging Pixels. You can subscribe to the Hanging Pixels podcast through any podcasting service like Spotify, iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn, Google Play Music, or on LinkedIn and Facebook. Or by asking Alexa to play the Hanging Pixels podcast.